Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When you leave here today, you will not be the same as when you walked in. You will hopefully be living your life differently. You will be thinking differently about yourself and your congregation. You will never be the same again. Now, of course, that'll be up to you. If you don't want to be changed, if you don't want to be different, you don't have to be. That's always true when we read God's Word. We can choose to go to ignore it and go on our merry or not so merry way. By the way, here's the test. Remember last week? I said there might be a test. How did you do? How did you do with the six suggestions in your daily reading of God's Word? Did you do any of those things this last week? Did you see how Christ as the Lamb of God came through your Bible reading every day? This week in God's Word, we are looking at how that word changes us and changes our actions. We're looking at how the love of God is what makes us different than we were before. How will we be changed by that love? Now, of course, I can't give you your specific answer, but I can tell you that you will know about love in perhaps for you a new way. And that knowledge will either change you and allow you to see your life, how you live it, as differently or not. Again, that's up to you. Now, I know you're not used to hearing me say things like that from the pulpit, are you? You're not used to hearing me say that things are up to you. Usually, it's about how you are different because of what God has done for you, not what you can do differently. Well, that also is true today. Both things are true. Because you can only be different because of what God has first done for you. Because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Very good. And if you choose to listen and learn something new about love, that can guide you into how to act differently. In today's gospel lesson, in verses 34 and 35, Jesus speaks about love. Let's read these together. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So, let's talk about this love that Jesus speaks about and learn something about it for a few moments. You remember me talking a while ago about C.S. Lewis. You remember he wrote the Chronicles of Narnia. Well, he was a Christian apologist. He was an Oxford don, and he died on the same day as John F. Kennedy's assassination. He also wrote this book called The Four Loves. It's a wonderful book about the four words in Greek that are all translated into our language as the one word love. In some ways, that's unfortunate because each of those Greek words has their own unique meanings, and those meanings have nothing to do with Madison Avenue telling you you'll love this car or you'll really love this dish soap. The four loves are eros, storge, phileo, and agape. Let's deal with eros first. That one may sound familiar to you. It sounds like the word erotic. And it's a type of love that is self-seeking. Self-seeking. It's sensual and usually sees the other person simply as a means to please one's self. But eros is one of the Greek words for love that is, interestingly enough, it's not found anywhere in the New Testament. At any rate, we can eliminate eros as what Jesus is talking about today in verses 34 and 35. Neither is he talking about storge. But storge, or forms of it, are found in Scripture. Storge is used to refer to family type of love. It's the natural type of love that families share with one another. This is the affection between cousins and uncles and aunts and moms and dads and sons and grandparents. It's a strong and it's a very powerful bond. But this too is not the love that Christ speaks of today either. It's seen in a few places in Scripture, as we said, but not here in this place. Then there is phileo. And this one may sound more familiar. Ever heard of Philadelphia? It's known as the city brotherly love. There you go. Now, phileo is often used in the Gospels and in the New Testament. This is a deep love, the love of a true friend. It's a close thing. It's a binding sort of thing. In the Old Testament, the story of David and Jonathan is a good example of this type of love. Now, phileo is used by the Jewish crowds when they see Jesus weeping over the tomb of Lazarus. And they talk about how Jesus loved or phileoed Lazarus. And it's also the expression that Peter uses when, after Jesus' resurrection, they're walking by the sea. Jesus asks Peter if Peter loves him, and Peter is the one who uses this word, phileo, in reply. So phileo is strong, and it's a potent expression of care, of embrace, of affection. In fact, this word can also, in certain contexts, be translated as kiss. Not in the erotic sense, but in the affection for one person to another sense. When you hear in the New Testament, I think it's in Romans 16, you hear the expression, greet one another with a holy kiss. That's this type of word. That's a form of the word phileo. But again, this isn't the word that Jesus uses in the gospel lesson today. So, here we go. Are you ready? This is the last one. Some of you know this word for love. This is the word agape. Agape. That's what it looks like in the Greek. This is the word that speaks of selfless love. The word that describes the love that is the opposite of self-seeking. This is the love that seeks the best for the other. This is the love that chooses and decides to act in the best interest of the one who is beloved. There was a man who one day made such a decision, and his choice presents a good picture of the love we're talking about now. It started with a fire. Both parents died in a tragic fire on the first floor of the house where they slept. Upstairs, the couple's young son was leaning out the window crying for help. Suddenly, out of the crowd that was watching came a man who climbed up the side of the house by hanging on to the gutter pipe, even though it was red hot from the fire down below. He saved the boy, and then he was gone. Since both parents were dead, there was a court hearing to decide where the boy should live. There was a farmer who offered the boy a good home. There was a wealthy neighbor who promised to give the boy care and whatever he needed. Then in came the man who had saved the boy. His only claim was his scarred hands. The boy immediately ran to him and hugged him. Of course, the trial was over at that point. The man had chosen to make a sacrifice for the benefit of the boy. And that act of love demonstrates the kind of love that changes a person. That's the kind of love Jesus was talking about in the gospel lesson today. That's the love that Jesus speaks of when he gives a new command. Read verse 34 with me again. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. The new command of Christ to his followers, these are Jesus' marching orders, so to speak. This command needs to be seen by us also in the context of which it is given. This command is given within 24 hours of when Jesus goes to the cross and will there show the disciples, us, and the world what true, selfless love looks like. And that selfless love is what Jesus says when he says in verse 35, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." That's right. He isn't using the word love as used by Madison Avenue when talking about soap, like we talked about before. This also isn't romantic love. It's also not talking about family love, like between brothers and sisters. And it is beyond even the love of a close friend. Now, earlier in this same chapter, Jesus has done the work of a servant for his disciples. He's washed their feet. He did this to demonstrate, to actively demonstrate, to show this agape love, this self-giving love that's willing to do what is needed for the other. Agape love is love in action. It's not about flowery emotions. It's not about deep feelings. Agape love is restless until the one upon whom love is being shown has all that they need. It's a love that is kinetic. That is, it moves and it acts and it is seen by being demonstrated, like the man who rescued that boy from the fire. Agape isn't confined to simply talking about it. It isn't, the parameters aren't about our emotions. Agape is what Christ commands in the gospel lesson today. And it's what he has shown in the foot washing. And it's what he will show within 24 hours on the cross. He will go to the cross and do. He will do what needs to be done in order that the world which Jesus loves will have what it needs. And that is reconciliation with God the Heavenly Father. Jesus rests in the grave only after that work of atonement is fully accomplished. Until then, Jesus does not stop acting in love. And today in verse 35, we are given the command to do likewise. Now, of course, we're not needed to redeem the world. That's ridiculous. But we are given the order to love one another as Christ has loved us. That means action, participation, movement, going, doing. It means seeing that each other's needs are met. It's one of the reasons why I ask you to take the prayer list home every week. It's the foot washing that the other person needs. Jesus said that if we want the world to know that we follow him, then love is what we will show one another. The mark, the sign, the signal to others that we are of Christ and that he claims us as his followers is that we act in love, in agape, toward fellow believers. Jesus says that in this way, the world will take notice, and the world will know that we are of Him. Agape is the badge of the disciple, of the follower, of the person of Jesus Christ. The Christian knows the love Jesus has for him. Because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The love of the disciples for one another is not merely edifying. That love reveals the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God's love for the world. Agape-type love is the mark of identity that we bear from infancy. It is that which makes us different as we leave here today. This is the self-sacrifice that Christ exemplifies, and that is what shows us to be different to the world around us. That's a hard thing for us, because in our society tells us to be our own person. Create your own reality. Choose to be what you want to choose to be. Be a self-made person. But Jesus instead calls us to be the people, the followers, the disciples that He has sacrificed to make us to be. We're to be people that demonstrate we follow Him and not ourselves. We are followers. If we're not, then we choose not to show agape love, and then we are leaders. But we are leaders that are leading people away from God and toward death. In showing love, in showing agape to one another, the world will see it and they will marvel and wonder at it. We don't want them to follow us. We want them to follow the one that we follow, Jesus Christ. Because only in Him is life and hope and salvation. If we're following Him, then we are serving one another by reflecting His love as He has loved us. History tells us that Alexander the Great would oftentimes hold court on the open battlefield to try certain offenders and offenses right on the spot. There was one time a young man who was just a boy. He was fair-haired. He couldn't even shave yet. And he was brought up on the charge of desertion. He was accused of hiding in a ditch to avoid the battle. So Alexander the Great asked the soldier, "What's your name?" The young man replied, "Alexander." Alexander the Great came down and stood face to face with the young man. Extending his arms and grabbing hold of the young boy's shoulders, he shook him. And he said to him, "Either change your name or change your conduct. Either we strive to reflect, imitate, and witness to our risen Lord, Jesus Christ, or we don't." God's great agape can be reflected in our lives, because His great love has been poured out on us. What you do with that love is your choice. That He loves you is beyond your choosing, because He has chosen you to love you and to give you life and eternal life in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we act and in whose name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen.